So good to see everyone here today. We appreciate your presence very, very much. If you're visiting, thank you for coming. Hope you'll come back and be with us whenever you can. I think that when we stop to consider the devil, do you ever think much about the devil? Well, maybe we don't think that much about him. But maybe we should. We should take him seriously. Because he is a serious being. This morning, I would like to talk to us a little bit about Satan. And my particular aspect or point that I would like to make is how the devil spends the Lord's Day. Now, that might seem like sort of a strange kind of thing to think about, but I'd like to begin in the book of Job, chapter 1, just for a moment, and to remind us of some things about Satan that maybe we've just not taken him seriously enough. Maybe we have been thinking that he's really not a threat. It's not a serious thing. But in the book of Job, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.'" Now, just a couple of thoughts here that I would like to suggest to us from this passage is, number one, you'll notice here that the sons of God were coming before God to worship Him. So it was a time of worship. And who also comes among the sons of God as they're going to worship? Satan. Satan is there. Well, when we search the Scriptures, we find that Satan was right there with Adam and Eve in the garden. And I think we're all quite familiar with that story. Here is paradise on earth. God is with Adam and Eve in the garden. They are in the very presence of God. And who comes along? Satan. And we understand what Satan did. We understand that he tempted Eve. And both Eve and Adam ate of the fruit. And as a consequence, Adam and Eve were cast from the garden. Now we jump ahead just a little bit and we find that Satan even came into the very presence of Jesus. And that's recorded for us in the book of Luke, chapter 4, and that is the story, the historical setting of Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. And what is interesting about that is that Satan had absolutely... He just came right before the Lord. He talked with Him. He tempted Him. Now, we've mentioned this before, but it's important that we recognize this, is that how Satan approached Eve in Genesis 3 is the exact same way that Satan approached Jesus, the Son of God, in the wilderness. The outline of that attack is presented to us in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, if you'll notice there in verse 15 beginning, John says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Verse 16 is the outline, if you will, about the three ways that Satan tempted Eve and then Satan tempted Jesus. So I think it's safe to say that that's the three ways that Jesus tempts us today. When we stop to consider that Satan also is recorded of being in the presence of Judas Iscariot. In fact, the text talks about that Satan entered Judas. I'll just stop. This is for another day. But the process of how Satan did that was by matter of choice on the part of Judas. The fact that Judas had a lust, he coveted money. Satan found a way to tempt him so as to do the evil that Judas Iscariot did. We also find in Luke chapter 22, we find that Jesus had a conversation with Peter about a conversation that Jesus evidently had with Satan himself, and how that Satan was wanting to do Peter harm. Jesus says to Peter, "This is going to happen. But I'm praying for you that after all of this happens, that you'll return and be what you ought to be." So I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know, there are lots of examples in the Bible how Satan has affected man. Now, if I was to stop and just ask you the simple question, do you believe that Satan is real and that he tempts us? I think all of us would give allegiance to that. Yes, we believe that. But maybe we don't take him very seriously. We should. Because he is very, very powerful. So the question is, has Satan ever come around you? Has he ever been in your presence? And the answer is, yes, he has been around each of us. Well, when we stop to consider about these warnings about Satan, this makes more sense that all of these warnings are not just there for no purpose. Notice, if you will, in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, "So no advantage will be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." Now, we can, as I said, not take him seriously, not really think about him. He being our arch enemy. A while back we studied through the book of Revelation, and we emphasized time and time again that what Revelation represents is this evil force that is against God and everything that God stands for. And there is this great battle. So Paul says he can take advantage of us. But he says we shouldn't be ignorant of his schemes. We also notice in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, a passage probably most of us a little bit more familiar with. He says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Notice he says, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert." That's what I was referring to when we got started. Is that maybe we don't think much about the devil. That's a mistake. We should be very cognizant of the fact that he is around us. And we should be paying very close attention. Some of you may have seen this note on Facebook, but Stuart over in Zimbabwe, whom we support, he sent a picture of a mamba, black mamba snake. And it's dead, but he said he almost got bit. Well, the Africans are very cognizant of snakes there. I've talked to you before about the cobra and the black mamba that is there and prevalent. And they have to be very, very, very careful. Now, if you're in Africa and you just don't think about snakes, you just don't care about that, or hyenas or lions or anything like that, you just go over there and you're in Disney World, you think, you're probably going to wind up dead. It's a very serious country. It's a very dangerous country. You have to pay attention. Well, in the spirit world, there are these beings, the devil and his angels, his demons, and they have one goal in mind. It's to destroy anything good and anyone that's trying to follow God. And we best take that seriously. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Instructions to us that we do have a source of power, we do have a source of strength, that we can overcome the devil, although he is very dangerous, although he will try to devour us, kill us spiritually. We have help from God. We can resist him. I want you to turn now and read with me Ephesians chapter 6. And this is probably one of the most familiar passages in Scripture that really deal with the concept of our awareness of Satan and what we should be doing. In Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10, "Finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm." Now, there couldn't be a stronger, more specific warning to each of us to take the devil seriously. So this morning, based upon these facts, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the practical application of these principles. One more time. The devil is real. Number two, he is trying to get each of us to do wrong. Number three, he doesn't love you. He never tells you the truth. He always lies to you. So number four, you best take him seriously. Well, that means the devil's right here among us today. We are the sons of God, and we have assembled today to worship the Lord. Where do you think the devil is? Oh, he's out there somewhere. No, he's right here. He's sitting in your pew right next to you. He's standing right up here next to me. Now, we might just kind of snicker about that. We may say, well, yeah. But with ever part of me, I believe that to be absolutely correct. So are we fearful of that? Are we concerned about that? What would be some clues that that is true besides what we've already read and accept by faith? So I thought I would just talk about what he's doing today. So let's begin with me. So if you had your spiritual eyes and you could see the spirit world, you would see the devil standing right here. And what he's doing, he's tempting me. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Most all of you are familiar with that text. As an evangelist, I'm keenly aware of this text and the order from God through Paul. In verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. So there are many other passages that give instruction to an evangelist, but this passage is that first primary mission goal statement. That's my job. But the devil is whispering in my ear. I hear him very loud and very clear. And what he is saying is, don't preach anything controversial. Why is he saying that to me? Well, when you preach the truth, you have to preach the truth. Through the years, God's people have trended toward more and more worldliness and more deviation from the standard of God's Word. That's a fact. In many respects, disciples and churches are not what they used to be. So to preach and to talk about that is going to be somewhat controversial. Because over time, people have changed their minds, changed their thinking about basic biblical instruction. So it's a great temptation to me to not preach anything controversial, because we don't want to cause an uprising. We don't make people mad. We don't want anybody leaving. So the best thing to do is just to preach something that everybody can agree with. You could preach the sermon in any church in the county and everybody would applaud. That's the sermon that the devil wants me to preach. He says to me, don't be so tough on immorality. Today, more and more Christians are accepting all sorts of immoral attitudes and activities. There are brethren who become very uncomfortable if anything is mentioned about sexual immorality. Well, the devil's tempting me not to talk about that. He's also tempting me not to speak so plain on obeying the gospel. You don't want to make it so personal. You don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. You don't want to speak the gospel in such a way that someone's going to feel guilty. I actually had a brother in Christ just a few years ago. I was preaching the gospel, and he, a gospel sermon about becoming a Christian. And he came up to me, and he was actually a deacon in the church. And he had a couple of young girls that were right at the age of getting close to obeying the gospel. And these are the basic words that he said to me. He said, I really wish you'd back off. I'm preaching those kinds of sermons because you're making my daughters feel uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you loud and clear about this. The devil was using that guy as a mouthpiece. If you're uncomfortable by hearing the gospel that men are in sin, they need to be saved and have their sins washed away, you're uncomfortable with that, you've been listening to the devil. That's a fact. Oh, be careful. Don't offend folks. Don't hurt their feelings. I'll tell you. It's impossible to preach this book and not hurt somebody's feelings. It's impossible to do that. Somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. We don't want you talking about the denominations. We certainly don't want you naming any denominations. And we certainly do not want you to talk about any kind of doctrinal issues. It's amazing how tempting that is to me. I must say that Paul was right when he said in Galatians 4 and verse 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I preached unto you the truth?" You can tell just immediately when you've preached something like that and somebody doesn't like it. So that's a temptation to me. You know, preaching the gospel it's much easier just to tell a funny story. It's much easier not to read the Bible and just talk and we all feel good. And that's a temptation. And many of my preacher friends have done just that. They've stopped preaching. And they can tell some wonderful, tear-jerking stories that really doesn't lead anybody to do anything about their sins. That's not preaching. In Romans 1 verse 16 and 17, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I shouldn't be either. "If any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God," Peter said. But the devil constantly whispers in my ear, "Don't say that. Don't talk about that." Well, that got me to thinking about something else. What is the devil doing on Sunday? Right here in this building. What is he doing? Well, I'll tell you what he's doing. He's trying to get you not to listen. Did you notice in this 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, here's the charge. Here is the command to any preacher or evangelist. Verses 1 and 2, we read that. Now notice verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So I got to thinking about that. Well, you know, whenever the gospel is taught, in the first parable that Jesus ever taught, in Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 12, that when the seed of the word was broadcast, the devil came and took it away. How does he do that? So I'm standing up here, and I turn in the Bible, and I'm reading to you God's message. This is what God teaches us to do. And there are those who would sit in the audience who don't like what they're hearing because it interferes with what you want to do and what you want to believe. And the devil comes and just takes that seed right out of your heart and it never germinates and you leave here not changed in mind or actions one bit. You know who's responsible for all of that? The devil. So the devil is among us today. Would you agree? So here's maybe some examples of how he's working on you. The devil is whispering in your ear too. Now he's some kind of being that he can stand up here and just constantly. I mean, almost every word or sentence I say, I hear him talking to me. And yet he's sitting out there in the pew right next to you. And as I'm saying it, he's whispering in your ear. And what he's saying is, don't listen to Salih. He doesn't know anything. No one has ever said that to me. But they sure have acted like it. Because when I try to preach the truth, there will be people who will sit there and look at me like I have three heads. And sometimes he'll whisper and he'll say, "Oh, look at that sweet little baby over there." I can be hammering down on a point and it needs to be heard, and I can see wandering eyes just gazing at all the pretty babies. Now, all you with pretty babies, don't get mad and leave. All I'm saying is, there are distractions. And the devil takes advantage of it. He will do his best to make sure you doze off, you look at something else. Oh, here's one I just thought of. Right in the middle of the service, you start grabbing that phone because the devil just whispered and said, "Oh, you forgot to text your friend about lunch today." So right in the middle of when you need to hear it, you're not here. Your mind is gone because you're texting somebody about lunch. You know how I know that? I have preached lessons, and a week later or 2 weeks later, that person will come to me and say to me, "I'd like to hear a lesson on so-and-so. And I just preached that. But where were you? You were gone. Oh, your body was here." Do you know who's to blame for all of that? The devil. He is whispering in your ear. You need to stay sober. You need to be alert. Wake up! Stop listening to the devil. Listen to the Word. Sometimes he says, "How much longer is this boring sermon going to be?" I've seen that on your face. You look and beat on your watch and you don't even have a watch. That happens. Because there's a limit to all of our listening and taking it in. I remember preachers when I was growing up used to talk about people coming and getting their bucket full. And that was just an expression that you come, you're excited, you want to get your bucket full of information and truth, and you can take it home, you know, and be of... It seems to me many people come with a thimble. And about the introduction, they got their thimble full and they're gone. You know who's responsible for that? Let's back up just a little bit. Why were the disciples sleeping while Jesus was praying in the garden? Jesus commended and said, "Oh, your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Who was working on their flesh? You see, we don't quite give Satan the credit that he deserves. Silly just doesn't want you to have any fun. I guarantee you, I preach about dancing, I preach about drinking, I preach about fornicating, and people are just going to be uncomfortable with that. "Well, what do you mean we can't do that?" Have you ever read the Bible? No, see, the devil doesn't want you to read those passages. Because it's interfering with things you want to do. That's the devil. Did you know the devil is right here among us and talking to Anderson members? Yeah. He talks specifically to you to be discouraged. What are you discouraged about? "I don't know. I just don't... Here's a problem that we have. When you personally get discouraged about things in your life, that doesn't mean the church is going downhill. Let me say that one more time. You personally can be discouraged. You translate that to mean that the church is not as good as it once was. When in actuality, you're not as good as you once was. And you've fallen behind. When I was in school, I attended school pretty regular. I didn't pay attention much in class, but I was there. But there were kids who missed a lot of school. And they fell way behind. And some of those kids, they missed so much school and they fell so far behind that there was a couple of expressions that at the end of the year was used. We're going to have to hold them back. Or there was another word that was more common amongst us. They flunked. I wonder how many of you are behind spiritually. Are you really ready to be moved up to the next grade? Or did you fail or flunk spiritual things? Well, you know, so personally, you may not be progressing the way you ought to be, so you feel like the whole world is not progressing the way it ought to be. So there's lots of different ways that he can discourage you. The result of being discouraged can be that you complain and you criticize. If a kid is not doing good in school, whose fault is it? It has to be the teacher. Now, I'm not saying they're not bad teachers. There are bad teachers. And there's some really good teachers. But I've seen really, really, really great teachers be highly criticized because the child was just a lazy student. And the parent blamed the teacher. And it wasn't the teacher's fault. Many times, a Christian will blame their discouragement and they will criticize and complain about the elders or the preacher or the teachers or Bible classes. And that's not the issue at all. We must first look in the mirror at ourselves. So, sometimes the devil is trying to get Anderson members to get upset over anything and everything. If someone just wants to be angry, if someone just wants to be mad, if you got up on the wrong side of the bed, you're having problems at home, you're having problems at work. So when you come to church, you want there to be problems here because your whole world is messed up. You don't want to come here and things be good. Now, that's a kind of a pitiful state that we get to, that we want the church to be bad, because that makes us feel better. Sometimes we make a mountain out of a molehill. And what I mean by that simply is that something may not be to your liking. And so you let that bother you. You let that disturb you. And how it affects you, eventually you get discouraged and you don't want to come to church. And when you stop and really think about what caused that, it was something that was really insignificant. The preacher preached too long. He preached too hard. The song leader led too many songs. He led all the verses. The scripture reader, he read too slow. He should have read faster. The prayer guy prayed for everything under the sun. The closing prayer guy repeated everything he said. And so what we're into is this negative, want to put it down, want to be upset about something. And so we make something out of nothing. Do you know who's behind all of that? Satan. Someone got my seat. That's becoming more of a problem. People have been sitting in certain seats here for a long time. New people start coming in. They don't know that you've got that marked. And so they plop down in your seat. So then we got to have the, you know, movement. And then that moves and they cause other people to move. Gets frustrating. Well, I've got my Bible laying there. I've got my footstool there. Can't find a parking place. Already heard people fussing about, well, they can't see the lines, don't know where to park. Well, I had to park over in the grass. You know, we can get upset if you want to get upset. Man, let's just get upset. Let's fuss. Let's just really make this a great place to worship. Let's be mad. Do you think anybody's behind that? I don't like the Bible class topic. I don't like the teacher. The devil also is trying to get Anderson members not to be concerned about a few things. Being involved in worship today. That's common. I notice people that don't sing. When you assemble together as God's people, what are we supposed to do? Sing. But who's telling you not to sing? Well, I can't sing good. I don't know the song. Sing. To be involved in the work of this church. As I've mentioned before, and I've used this illustration before, there's no congregation that I've ever known of in my life that's any more athletic inclined than this group. And if anybody knows anything about athletics, it's this group. And in any ball team, every person on the team is important. Most people do not join a ball team to sit on the bench. They join the ball team so they can get out there in the game and play. That is not true with people in church. Most people join a church where they can sit in a pew and hide. It has been estimated that about 10% of the people of any local church does 100% of the work. I think that's pretty accurate. Do you know who's telling you to not get involved? It's the devil. He don't want you involved. Having a vacation Bible school workshop this afternoon. You plan on coming? Well, no, we'll just wait 2 days before VBS starts. Nothing wrong with you waiting 2 days before VBS starts. All I'm saying is, we have the mindset that when there's stuff to be done and work to be done, we tend to let somebody else do it. Bringing your Bible to worship. Opening your Bibles. Is it important to do that? I constantly remind my 10th grade Bible class. This is Bible class. Bring your Bible. We're going to talk about the Bible. They look at me like, oh, really? Well, we're worshiping God. We're assembling to study His Word. Where's your Bible? Are we reading it? Are we studying it? Reckon who told you not to worry about that? Missing Sunday or Wednesday Bible study? Don't be concerned about that. That's not required. It's not important. Who told you that? The devil tells you what you like to hear. Redefining who the enemy is. The devil says, he's not your enemy. I'm your friend. I'm your friend. But then what really happens, the elders, the deacons, and the preacher become your enemies. In our society today, I'm convinced one of the top things that you're not supposed to do is totally, politically incorrect. It is socially unacceptable. Now, I'm talking about in the church. It's telling somebody they're wrong. So if an elder tells you you're wrong, what's the consequence of that? The devil says, there's your enemy. I don't like that elder. I don't like that preacher. Why? Because he told you the truth. The devil is the one encouraging that. Growing weary of doing good for others. That's easy to do. Being selfish. No one is concerned about me. You see, what the devil wants you to believe is that this whole church, everything that is done here, is all about you. And when it doesn't go to suit you, that's a problem. But the Bible teaches that all of this is about others. This is the place you get outside of self. This is a place where you put God first. This is a place where God is foremost. You honor Him. You look to others. You encourage them. And when you do all of that, you receive the benefit of being uplifted and encouraged. That's God's plan. But the devil is whispering in your ear and trying to get you to believe, well, the preacher didn't call me. The preacher didn't talk to me. The preacher didn't see me. The preacher didn't speak to me. Boo hoo hoo. Is that what it's about? Who told you that? The devil told you that. So the devil is among us today, right? I think I made that clear. Are we going to let the devil into our hearts? This has been kind of a long sermon. Probably several of you done checked your clock. It's 5 after. 6 after now. Come on. End it. Stand and sing. Let's go. Got places to go. People to see. Things to do. Who's telling you that? We can and must resist the devil. We can and must submit to God. It's a choice that we make. Well, I thought that might be of a benefit to each of us this morning to think a little bit about that. But I'm going to tell you one other thing that is going to be a help and a benefit if you'll listen. There are folks in this audience that need to be baptized into Christ. You know why you haven't done that? It's because the devil's whispering in your ear that you've got plenty of time. You don't need to do it now. There are probably members in this church that need to make corrections in your life. Need to change your life. Maybe it's private. Maybe it's public. You need the prayers of the brethren. But you're not going to do that right now. You know why? Because the devil's got your ear. Put that off a while. There are people in this audience today that really, 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 really need to change their ways and get involved in this church. But the devil is saying, nah, it's no big deal. So this morning, you'll have a choice. We'll all make a choice about who we're going to listen to. This morning, if we can help you in any way, be obedient to the gospel. If we can pray with you and pray for you, why don't you come as we stand and sing.
Blood.